Would you open with me again to Romans? And we will get started and continue this morning. I just want to let everyone know that for the summer, if you notice, our kids are in here. We're calling it Summer Sundays in Service. Sounded catchy to me at the time. But yeah, we're just bringing our youth in during the summer to just be with us, fellowship with us, and hang out with us, and let them enjoy that. We're still having our hang times, but yeah, just wanted to let you know. So they're with us. So if you have your Bibles, Romans 2, we're going to be in verse 17 today. So last week we stood in this understanding of the mirror. Remember, we talked about standing in front of a mirror and saw that God's judgment is not only real, but it's righteous, it's impartial, and it's deeply personal. And we were reminded last week that it's not just the immoral or those who don't know Christ, but it's that need rescue. It's also the religious, and at times more so. And because of that, we hear Paul's clear message that God sees the heart and that our actions reveal our true allegiance. And that even our secrets we hide will one day be judged by Christ. But we're also reminded of this hope that the judge is also our Savior. That his kindness leads us to repentance. And today, Paul is continuing this conversation by turning the spotlight just more directly to those who consider themselves religious and religious insiders, those who are confident in their knowledge of the gospel, those who are confident in the law, those who are confident in who they are, in their traditions, in their religious identity. But Paul's questions are piercing because he's going to ask us, is your heart truly transformed this morning? Are you hiding behind spiritual symbols and labels? So Romans 2, starting in verse 17, challenges us to go beyond this outward expression of religion and to our heart and an inward expression of our faith, this inward transformation that only Christ brings to us. So starting in verse 17, it says, "Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have the law of embodiment of knowledge and truth, you, then, who teach others, do not teach yourself. You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who harbor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is the only outward, nor is circumcised merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. And such a person's praise is not from the people, but from God." So this morning we see, once again, Paul is just diving right in. He's getting right to the point. And today I want to confess to you a little bit, you know, because we've been talking about mirrors. And just like all of us, there's some mirrors I tend to avoid, right? You know, in that bathroom mirror when I first wake up, when you're just tore apart, my hair is a mess. I'm kidding. My beard might be a mess. But sometimes it's just, you just don't want to look into it. Or the mirror in our bedroom when we're picking out our clothing and we're all just judgmental of ourselves and saying, this makes me look horrible. I don't want to do this. I don't want to wear this. But there's the spiritual mirror that we need to remember. The one that reflects how others see me. The one that reflects how God sees me. And sometimes we put so much focus on these literal mirrors in our life, but we forget about the mirror that others see. We forget how God sees us. So Romans 2, verses 17 through 29 is holding up one of these mirrors. So this passage is now written for the religious, for those who already believe that they're close to God, for those who already feel that they know the right language, that they have the right traditions, that they could quote the right scriptures. In other words, it's written for people like us in this building, the ones who are saying we're Christian. And Paul's message cuts us deep because it confronts this great temptation that we have of this religious life, that sometimes we trust in our performance, our labels, our rituals, but we forget about our hearts. So first thing we're going to talk about that he opens up with is this danger of false confidence. So Paul begins in verse 17. It says, "Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God." So right here, Paul begins to expose the problem that the Jewish people have been given these incredible spiritual privileges. They have the law, the covenants, the promise, the prophets. They have it all for them. But the blessings had become a basis of pride instead of the foundation for their humility. So I'm going to try to put today's stuff in today's perspective. Okay? So in terms today, what Paul is saying is, so if you now you call yourself a Christian, if you rely on your church attendance, your baptism, your theology, and your worship music playlist. And because of those things, we're like, well, I go to church on Sunday. I listen to Chris Tomlin on the drive home. I do things. I know my Bible. I've recited. I've memorized verses since I was a kid or since I started. All these things. And I was baptized. But Paul is pointing to the temptation that we're trusting in this identity rather than our heart and our spiritual surrender. So he continues and says, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark. So Paul is painting this picture that to someone who knows the right answers, someone who teaches the Sunday school class, leads Bible study, volunteers on missions trips. But here's the catch that he's trying to express. Having the light is not the same as walking in the light. Just because you have it, just because you know it, just because you speak it, just because you share it, does not mean that you are walking in it. So we can know God's will, we can quote his words, and we can still miss his heart. And the danger Paul confronts is that of this false spiritual confidence that they have. So when we begin to know, begin to believe that just because we know the truth, just because we know the Bible, just because we come to church on Sundays, that we are living in truth with God. But Jesus did not die to make us Bible experts. He died to make us transformed new through his Spirit. And then as Paul continues, if we jump up to verse 21, he says, You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who harbor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? So now Paul is confronting this gap between our belief and our behavior. Because our behavior is showing people what we believe. How we act, how we talk, how we approach people shows the outward expression of what we believe in. So he's not saying that every believer needs to be perfect. That's not it. But what he's saying is that there's this hypocrisy is a serious offense to God. Because Jesus warned of the same danger in Matthew 23 when he said to the Pharisees, "Woe to you! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." So outwardly, they look like people of God. But inwardly, they were far from him. And Paul continues in verse 24, "As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." So when God's people live in this hypocrisy, when our actions don't match our message, we don't just damage our witness. We drag God's name through the mud. Because we are showing people, like when we say, "Oh, we're Christian, we love God so much, follow him, you need to be with him, you need to understand him, you need to experience him," and then they see the actions, you're dragging his good name through the mud because of what you're doing, because of what we're doing in our life. So it's kind of like the kind of saying that I struggle, but I'm not hiding. I fail, but I run to grace. And instead of pretending, I repent. So we need to be truthful in our life. Paul is telling them to be truthful to themselves and say, are you just following God outwardly? Are you just showing these examples? Are you just putting on a front where in your heart you're living differently? And then Paul uses Paul uses the issue of circumcision, this physical sign of the Jewish covenant with God. So circumcision has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. So in other words, this ritual means nothing without the relationship. You get married and you go through and you go to the altar and the bride walks up the aisle and you do all the stuff. That ritual means nothing if you don't have the relationship with them. So I'm going to modernize this kind of once again. Okay, so it's like baptism. Baptism has value in your life if you surrender to God. But if you live in disobedience, it's just like you're getting wet. That's all it is. Church membership means nothing if your heart doesn't belong to Jesus. And knowing Scripture means nothing if you don't let Scripture shape your life. So Paul, in this, he's not minimizing rituals, but he's saying that they are meant to be outward signs of inward realities. So when the inward heart hasn't changed, the outward signs become meaningless. And then he says something radical. He says, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they then be regarded as though they were circumcised? And this would have, you have to understand that in this time, this would have shocked Paul's audience, because he is saying that a Gentile who obeys God from the heart is more truly God's person than a Jew who simply performs a religious rite. So what matters to God is not your label, but it's your life. It's not your ritual, but your heart. So we do this because when we think about it, when we look into the mirror, when we look at ourselves, we need to ask ourselves, what are we representing? Where is our true identity? Who is it through? Is it through ourself? Is it through our circumstances? Is it through our ideas that we have brought forth? Or is our true identity found in Christ alone? Verses 28 to 29, it says, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcised merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by written code. And such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. So this is the heart of everything that he's saying right here. That Paul is redefining what it means to belong to God. He's saying that it's not about this national identity. Because once again, back then, they were very separated on Jew, Gentile, those who did not know Christ, those who followed the law. And he is saying that it's not about your identity in this. It's not about your outward signs, but instead it's about your heart and the Spirit's work within your heart. Because the Spirit's work in our heart only leads us to one place if we follow truthfully and obediently, and that's to Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus can give us a new heart. Only Jesus can cleanse our conscience. Only Jesus can forgive us. Only Jesus can fulfill the law that we have broken. So we don't need better rituals. We don't need better flashiness. We don't need more time at the altar. It's not about if I stand here 5 more minutes, if I pray 10 minutes longer, if I say this verse one more time, if I rehearse and practice and can spit out verse after verse after verse, and guess what? This week I have one more for you. It's not about any of that, because we don't need the rituals. We need new birth through Jesus Christ. We need to be new through Christ. So Paul is describing this spiritual circumcision to them, letting them know that it's a heart made new by the Holy Spirit. He's letting them know if they are going to say the words, they're going to perform the rituals, if they're going to be Christian, if they're going to do the things and tell people, hey, I'm a Christian, you should come to church on Sunday, you should come to our Bible study, hey, shouldn't say that, whatever have you, if we do all these things, are we doing it because our heart was made new and transformed by Jesus Christ? Or are we saying it, turning around, and doing it ourselves? I'm guilty of it all the time. I'm human. I say one thing, I do another. Tell my kids they can't have those Oreos, I'm going to eat them. On a big sense, as adults, as parents, as your pastor, you don't want to admit it sometimes, but I fall into sin. I tell people to be nice, be courteous, be kind. And sometimes I turn around and the flesh takes over and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to. But remember, it's not about being perfect. It's about being transformed. Because when we understand that we're human, when we understand that we're sinful, when we understand that we need Christ in our life to better ourselves, then we can start transforming ourselves. Like that saying that says, first you have to admit there is a problem. And when we're in this prideful self of, I do all the right things, I say all the right words, I act all the right ways, I show everyone else what I'm doing, but we turn around and live our life apart from Christ, that comes forward. That is exposed. And when that is exposed to someone who doesn't know Christ, or you are trying to tell them about Christ, you're dragging God's word through the mud, and you're letting them know it's not that important. You're letting people know that, yeah, I can come to church on Sunday. I don't have to come to church on Sunday. You don't act any different than me. So when our actions don't match our conviction in the Lord and our transformation of our hearts, what's the point? We might as well just not say we're Christian. If you're going to lead people astray because of the way that you're presenting yourself, don't lead them. And if you're going to lead people and you stumble, and you fall, and things happen in life because we are human, you admit it. You stand back up. You say, man, I hit one there. That was a rough one. Do you forgive me? And then we move forward. But it's the transformation, because that's the transformation. When we take pride and replace it with truth and humility, God uses us. So I'm going to tell you a quick story about a man who is always dressed sharp for church, just to the T. Shoes match the tie, belt matched the shoes, perfectly did a lint roller over everything, walked in, looks, couldn't afford what he's wearing. Looks amazing. Suit, tie, polished shoes. Sits in the front row. Takes these notes on the sermon. Never missed a Sunday. And that's what he's showing. But at home, he was angry. He was harsh. He was bitter towards his family. And his family feared his moods. His children wanted nothing to do with his faith. And one day, one of his sons looked at him and said, Dad, I wish church you was the real you. And that is the danger and tragedy of religious hypocrisy in our world. When we act a certain way and behave differently behind closed doors. And I cannot stress this enough. It does not mean that you're perfect. But you have to have the humility to understand that God is what makes you perfect. And when you do something, or something happens, or you present yourself in the wrong way, it clicks, fix it, you say, sorry, I want to be better tomorrow, and you try again. And when you hit those roadblocks, you don't say, well, guess I might as well just go back to this because I'm never going to be the way God wants me to be. Guess what? None of us are ever going to be the way God wants us to be. In Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But through Christ, we are made whole through Him. To Him. Christ is the gap. Christ fills us with the righteousness needed. But you have to get out of your own way. You have to accept Christ in, and you have to live for Christ moving forward. So this invitation today is, if you've ever been trusting of your performance and what you're doing week by week, I want you to let it go. If you've ever been hiding behind rituals and saying, I go to church every Sunday, I do this, I perform this thing every night, I go here, I go there, I want you to come into the light. Because knowing it and having it is different than walking in it. And if you're just playing the part, I want you to come and be made whole through Christ. Because Jesus Christ did not come to make religious people nicer. He came to make spiritually dead people alive. And it's my prayer that He works in all of us today. Because the goal of our faith is to not just look like a Christian. The goal of our faith is to be a Christian. By the power of the Spirit and through the grace of Jesus Christ in our life. In the church, the gospel is not for the perfect. It's not for even the well-behaved. The gospel, it's for the hypocrites who are willing to come clean. It's for the religious person who is ready to repent. It's for the one who says, I've been trying to earn it, but you know what? Today, I don't have the energy, and I'm just going to receive it. Because Jesus Christ sees your heart, and He truly just wants all of it. He doesn't want your performance. He doesn't want your Sunday best. He just wants your surrender. So as Paul said, let your heart be circumcised by the Spirit. Let your faith be real, and let your life be transformed. Because only Jesus saves. Not the law, not the rituals, not the labels. Only Jesus Christ. So as always, as I close, you can invite up the worship team, but at Antioch Wesleyan Church, our mission is always going to remain clear, to love God, love people, and reach the world. And when we started 2025, it was to continue to pursue our vision to grow 55 in 25. And we want to grow by 55 people this year. But not just in number, but in depth. We want to grow spiritually. And as we've seen in Romans today, growth isn't just about appearances. It's not about looking religious or sounding spiritual. It's about being truly transformed by a living God and the Spirit of God. And that's why our vision is not about just building a crowd, but it's about building disciples who are growing in real inward faith. So we want to be a church that gives intentionally, not for show, but for hearts to be surrendered to Christ. We want to continue to reach continually, not to boast in our efforts, but because the gospel has changed our hearts so much that we have to share it. And we don't want to do anything but share his message. And we want to obey faithfully, not just outwardly, but from our heart and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to continue to worship deeply, but not with just words or rituals, but with our lives laid down in humility and surrender, and with love and sincerity. Because it's my prayer that we're not interested in just being or interested in religious masks. And instead, we want to pursue authentic faith in Jesus Christ in our life. Because only he can make us new. And as we walk in that kind of surrender, as we walk in that kind of faith, I believe God will continue to bless this church. And I believe that his kingdom will be impacted through us to the community around us, one life at a time. So let's keep growing, but let's do it from the inside out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now that we become before you, that we know you, that we're not hiding, that we're not performing, that we're not pretending, but we come simply as we are, because you are the God who sees the secrets in our heart. You are the God who knows every thought, every action, every motive, every hidden place, and still you invite us to come to you. And Lord, I pray that you forgive us for the times that we've relied on religion instead of relationships, on outward appearances instead of inward obedience. And Lord, I pray that you forgive us when we've trusted in symbols instead of surrender, and when we've tried to look godly rather than being transformed by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And we pray that you call us to this wholeness. And through Jesus Christ, you make it possible, not by our strength, not by our goodness, but by your grace. And Jesus, you are the only one who saves. Help us leave behind our false confidence and cling to you with our whole hearts. Make us a church that doesn't just look like followers of Christ, but actually follows you in our life with integrity, with love, and with truth. And may our lives bring you glory, not just on Sundays, but in every moment. In your name we pray.